Welcome to Chumba Casino, America's number one online social casino. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Explore hundreds of social games, including top-tier slots, jackpot games, and table classics with new games launching regularly. At home, on your lunch break, or relaxing on the couch, world-class entertainment is just a tap away. Score free daily login bonuses and kick things off with a free welcome bonus. Sign up today and discover why over 1 million players choose Chumba Casino to play for nonstop fun. Your next fun moment starts now at Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a Flashpoint Extra. I'm Flashpoint host, Cherry Gregg. Imagine being an 18-year-old black man in 1980. You're arrested, thrown in jail, and eventually convicted of raping a 15-year-old white girl. You're sentenced to life in prison and spend nearly 40 years behind bars despite evidence that you were not the culprit. Now, back up a little bit. Maybe you get free for about 8 months and you're on parole, but get thrown back in jail for a number of reasons. But during that time you were out, you meet a lawyer and a crackerjack investigator that take a look at your case. They work for more than 2 years to get your freedom. Well, that, my friends, is what happened to Elmer Daniels. Now, Elmer is a Wilmington man who was freed just days ago. So what in the world went wrong such that an innocent man was sent to prison, not once but twice? And what did it take to get him out? And why and how did the lawyer and investigator who took the case get involved? With me in the studio is Emeka Egwe of the Egwe Law Firm here in Philadelphia, as well as Terrence Jones, private investigator who helped bust this case wide open. So, gentlemen, welcome to KYW and to Flashpoint.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having us here.
Thank you. And so I want to jump right in. First of all, Emeka, you met this gentleman a few years ago during his brief time of being free. Tell me about his case and then why you decided to get involved.
So I met Elmer when he was let out after 37 years briefly on parole. I met him at an expungement and pardon clinic where I was a guest speaker. And to hear Elmer say it after he heard me speak, he came up to me and said, "You just told my whole life story." And he said I was wrongfully convicted and incarcerated back in 1980. He had some documents that he had held on to from 1980, and he gave me those documents. And after briefly looking at the documents and hearing his story, I told him I would get involved in this case. The story of Elmer Daniels is one of injustice. It's also one of vindication, because after 39 years of being wrongfully convicted and incarcerated, we were able to prove, along with my investigator, Terrence Jones, that Mr. Daniels was in fact innocent. Mr. Daniels' story began back on January 15th, 1980, ironically, Martin Luther King Day. At that time, a 15-year-old white female went to a party, left the party with a 15-year-old white male. The 15-year-old white male was intoxicated. They left the party shortly after 5 o'clock and went to some train tracks in Wilmington, Delaware. While at the train tracks, their stories differ. According to the 15-year-old white male, he had sexual intercourse with the 15-year-old white female. The white female says, "No, we didn't have sexual intercourse." Regardless of whose story you want to believe, while they were at the train tracks, they both say a black male who they later identified as my client came up to them. Once the black male approached them, the white male ran off, and according to him, to go get help. And allegedly, my client proceeded to rape the 15-year-old white female. It was a 2.5-minute rape where she suffered no serious injuries, physical injuries, and had no permanent bruises or scars. So after this 2.5-minute rape, the 15-year-old female goes back to the party. When she gets back to the party, she says, I was raped. So the police are called, and the police naturally want to speak to the 15-year-old witness who she was with, and the 15-year-old witness lied four different times. He gave four completely different stories. And finally, after the fourth time of lying, the police said, unless you tell us who committed this rape, we are going to charge you with this rape. And they proceeded to charge him with hindering prosecution. So once the police charged him with hindering prosecution and threatened to charge him with the rape because he himself was a suspect, that's when, for the first time, he came up with the name Elmer. He didn't know his last name, but he said, I know it was Elmer because we were in the same eighth grade math class together back in 1978.
So he literally pulled this guy's name. He pulled Elmer's name out from memory.
He claimed that he was in the same eighth grade math class, and that's he recognized Elmer from that class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we got involved due to the investigation of Terrence Jones, we thought it was strange because there was a three-year age difference between between my client and the key witness. My client was 18 back in 1980. The state's key witness, this 15-year-old white male, was 15. Nevertheless, they proceeded to go to trial and have this 15-year-old white male testify at trial that he was in the same eighth grade math class, and how easy it would have been for the prosecutor just to go to the school and pull the transcript, something we did 36 years later. When we got involved, we were able to conclusively prove that our client was in the 10th grade back in 1978, not in the 8th grade as testified to by the state's key witness.
And so how in the world, I mean, it just sounds like the investigation, so they basically convicted Elmer Daniels on this testimony, the single, what did they have to convict him?
I wish it was that simple. The story of Mr. Daniels is one of false testimony, false scientific evidence. Overall, it was just a railroad of an 18-year-old kid who was given a life sentence. And when I say 18, he had just turned 18. It was only 18, 35 days when he was given a life sentence. Another key piece of evidence, scientific evidence, the only scientific evidence that allegedly, and I say allegedly because it turned out to be false, implicated Mr. Daniels was hair evidence. So there was a piece of African-American hair which was allegedly found on the victim's underwear, and there was a Caucasian hair that was found on some pants that was seized from my client's house. There was an FBI agent that the state of Delaware used to look at this case. His name is Michael P. Malone, Special Agent Michael P. Malone. Michael P. Malone went across the whole country testifying that he could make identifications based upon hair comparison analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked at Mr. Daniels' case, he testified to the jury that it was a double match. In fact, he said in all his years of testifying, it's a rare thing, if ever, to see a double match.
And what is a double match?
A double match is the hair that was found, the Caucasian hair that was found on Mr. Daniel, the pants in Mr. Daniels' house belonged allegedly to the victim, and the African-American hair found on the victim's underwear belonged to Mr. Daniels.
Yeah.
So it was a double cross match that he testified to the jury. So you can imagine how damaging that was to Mr. Daniels. I mean, back then, DNA didn't exist, and back then, hair comparison analysis was equivalent to DNA analysis. And so it's hard to blame the jury once you hear such devastating evidence that turned out to be false that implicated Mr. Daniels. To this day, you can't tell someone's hair without the benefit of DNA. And as we stated before, DNA didn't exist back in 1980.
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, as a side note to folks who may be listening, this Malone expert was basically discredited on a number of cases across the country.
All right, and Mr. Jones is going to go into that because he was mm-hmm. the one that discovered it was this agent Malone who testified in our case. But the larger story, even
yeah.
beyond Mr. Daniels, is the thousands of people who have been convicted and sitting in jail to this very day, some who have even gone to death row as a result of Agent Malone and the whole FBI forensic lab. You know, there was a task force that the United States Department of Justice convened to look at this testimony of their lab examiners, and they found, I believe it was 26 out of 28, had testified falsely. Now, Agent Malone was a star of the forensic lab, and I say that because he testified 3 to 4 times more than any other agents did. And when we got involved in the case and my investigator, Mr. Jones, discovered the false testimony of Agent Malone, We sent the transcripts of our client's trial to the FBI and requested that they review the transcripts. The FBI, in conjunction with the U.S. DOJ, United States Department of Justice, looked at the transcripts, and in an extraordinary step in my 17 years of practicing law, I've never seen it, they wrote a letter to the Attorney General of Delaware, Matthew P. Dan, and stated that in this case, in at least three instances, they admit their agent testified beyond the means of science, a.k.a. he lied. He testified falsely, including the statement that it was a double match. They said that the evidence and the science does not exist to corroborate what Agent Malone testified to the jury. And that was one of the – that along with the transcripts are the two reasons that the state of Delaware cited in their motion to dismiss the indictment against Mr. Daniels as their basis for filing that motion.
Wow. And that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, I spoke to a Delaware lawyer who's been practicing 40 years, and he says in the history of Delaware, he can't remember ever the state moving to dismiss an indictment against someone who served so much time.
Wow. And so Mr. Daniels is free now, right?
Daniels was free, man. The judge signed the order on his birthday, on his 57th birthday, to release him on December 12th, 2018. And Mr. Daniels became a free man the following day on December 13th, 2018.
Wow. And it took all of this, all of this. And so, Terrence, tell us about your investigation and how you were able to find out that this agent basically had false testimony that was so damning to Mr. Daniels, and then you were able to shine a light on that.
So at the time that I got contacted by Attorney Emeka Igwe, I didn't know him, and I had done for 10 years independent investigations across the country. And I've done those investigations and had a lot of experience.
Mm.
He asked me to get involved in this case and said that I can charge whatever I want. So what I did was I looked at the 397 pages from Elmer Daniels' trial transcripts, and I cried throughout, knowing that he was an innocent man. So through that, I told him that I would take the case pro bono. I didn't want any money. And Attorney Igwe said he was also doing it pro bono. So for free, the both of us worked on this case for about 2 years. And it's kind of mind-blowing that you would have a guy like Michael P. Malone who did things that were so egregious. Not only did he testify in thousands of cases across the United States, false testimony to things that exceeded the limit of science, him having a master's degree in chemistry. They also said that he testified to different cases where he didn't even do the exams. So you have a guy that's doing, you know, I believe, criminal things. Some of the people that were on death row while the DOJ was doing their 10-year investigation into the FBI lab in Washington, D.C., some of those people were put to death.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
No one came in and stayed the execution knowing that this investigation was going on. And then they wrote a report that went from 1985 to 1995 and allowed they discredited Michael P. Malone, saying he was the most egregious lab examiner at the FBI lab. They allowed him to resign. And then the FBI took the extraordinary measure to rehire him to do background investigations, to pay him a bunch of money to still work. And the Washington Post did a big story initially, and then did another big story, and then they allowed him to resign again. He should have been arrested. He should have been locked up. When you say that his testimony exceeded the limits of science, it means that you gave false testimony. In this case with Elmer Daniels, Attorney General Matt Den went to the extraordinary measure to say that it was flawed testimony. It was on the front page of the Delaware News Journal to say there was flawed testimony. What is that? What is flawed testimony? Flawed testimony is false testimony. Either you're telling the truth or you're lying. So the Attorney General's office with Matt Den, so not only that this man, was he innocent and he spent close to 40 years in jail, and you violated his rights, you then Matt Dent goes and violates his rights again by not saying that he was completely innocent. What attorney Emeka Igwe did was he used a program that Matt Dent started 4 years ago. Matt Dent, when he became attorney general in Delaware, he started an actual innocence program. My investigation, my research, the actual innocence program was a joke. It was a way to get money from the state to develop a program that you're never going to
had they
come
ever
to conclusion.
Let anybody, yeah.
They've never let anyone free out of the over 8,500 prisoners that are in Delaware and over 4,000 inmates that have come out of jail that are on probation. No one has ever been found innocent by Attorney General Dent. So it's a fake program with fake investigations, and no one's ever been let out. We have proven, Attorney Emeka Igwe and I have proven that Elmer Daniels is actually innocent. And there's a plethora of information that we have to prove his innocence.
And so this at this point, how did he get out? What was the basis for him getting out? It wasn't because it was overturned, right? So is he deemed actually innocent at this point?
The state filed a motion to dismiss his indictment. Now, it's important.
That means the charges have been retroactively dismissed.
In layman's terms, the charges have been overturned, essentially.
So, but this was not the result. Your point is this is not the result of the actual innocence program.
Attorney Emeka Igwe followed
that
program.
Yeah, because you filed this letter.
Right.
You've submitted and asked.
To go through the program that he started 4 years ago, Attorney General Matt
Dent. And you were not allowed. This program is not the reason why Mr. Daniels is free.
No, we presented empirical evidence, as Mr. Jones stated. We presented evidence to show that Elmer was, in fact, innocent. Including strong alibi witnesses that testified at trial, including descriptions of the assailant by the victim that did not match Mr. Daniels.
Not to mention the false testimony of Malone.
Yeah. Right, FBI.
Absolutely. And we presented all this evidence to the Attorney General of Delaware.
And the school transcripts. So this was as simple as, there was an assistant state attorney general by the name of Bartholomew Dalton, who still practices law right now, that was prosecuting this case. And this case was as simple as getting the school transcripts, because you see that there's a 3-year difference, to get the school transcripts of Elmer Daniels.
I mean, just to look at him, you would say, okay, he's 18, he's 15.
Right.
How are they in the 8th grade at the same time?
And the school transcripts clearly showed that Elmer Daniels was in 10th grade at Wilmington High School when the witness was in 8th grade at Byard Middle School.
They weren't even in the same school.
And they also had a teacher testify, teacher by the name of Charlie Cross. I'll say his name.
It could have been anybody.
Who testified to say that they were in the same 8th grade math class. So the teacher lied also.
You applied to this actual innocence program. And this was not the way, but you had to go around this program in order to get Mr. Daniels' freedom.
Correct. The state, to this day, won't acknowledge the fact that Mr. Daniels is, in fact, innocent, despite all the evidence that we've presented to them. And part of us doing these interviews and having Mr. Daniels speak is to prove the fact that Mr. Daniels is, in fact, innocent. The state didn't file the motion out of benevolence, out of looking into the case and realizing, that they did anything wrong. They're trying to deny that. And the fact of the matter is Mr. Daniels is, in fact, innocent. He was wrongfully convicted and incarcerated for 39 years. And despite empirical evidence that we presented to them, they refuse to acknowledge the fact that he's innocent.
And so at this point, what do you all want to see happen for Mr. Daniels?
Well, the world will hear from Mr. Daniels. And Mr. Daniels wants to be an advocate for criminal justice reform. And we need criminal justice reform because Mr. Daniels is a poster child of what's wrong with the criminal justice system. At the age of 18, he was given a life sentence. After being given a life sentence, despite his numerous requests, he was denied appellate counsel. And the state of Delaware forced the 18-year-old kid with a 10th grade education to file motions on his own without the aid of counsel. And despite his best attempts, he filed numerous motions. The court summarily dismissed all his motions, as you can imagine would have happened. So how can you have an 18-year-old man facing a life sentence and not have an appellate counsel? So one of the reforms we are pushing for is appellate counsel should be appointed to anyone facing a life sentence. Really and truly, any felony over 10 years should be entitled to appellate counsel. Another thing the state of Delaware did in Mr. Daniels' case is destroy all the evidence. At some point, there existed all kinds of forensic evidence, hair, semen, blood, fingerprints, and the state of Delaware destroyed all of that evidence, giving Mr. Daniels no opportunity to conclusively prove scientifically that he's innocent. And they destroyed
it. Is that unusual?
It's very unusual. So they destroyed it at a time when he was still filing appeals. He was filing appeals on his own, and they destroyed all the evidence. So one of the things we're asking for is an evidence preservation law. Anyone who is charged in Delaware with a Class A felony, which is the most serious felony that you have, the evidence should be preserved on that case to give people opportunities to prove their innocence scientifically. You hear cases all the time from the 60s and 70s. People are proven innocent. In fact, the actual Innocent Project by Barry Scheck, they looked into Mr. Daniels' case, and because there was no DNA evidence, they won't get involved. And we've been inspired by Mr. Daniels' case to start our own nonprofit organization to look at cases where DNA may not exist. So an organization like the Innocent Project can't help you. Well, we will look at all cases where anyone is innocent, and we do an investigation. It's going to be called Absolute Justice, and we've been inspired by Mr. Daniels' case to start that organization.
Wow, and it's just so, I mean, people can't really wrap their heads around this. I think sexual assault is wrong. But to me, even the sentencing of this seems a little egregious.
And during 1980, I researched cases where people have committed murder and got sentenced to 20 years.
It just seemed like it was a lot going on here that raised some red flags.
Right, and you can't have two scales of justice. So I say this as a former prosecutor. As you stated, rape is horrible. And if you're going to give life sentence to everyone who commits rape, all right, so be it. But you can't selectively decide to give certain individuals certain sentences. You hear cases all the time where people who commit rape get probation, get 2 years, 5 years. But in the case of Mr. Daniels, you give him a life sentence. And the question is why? And you can't really understand the reality of Mr. Daniels' case unless you understand the racial dynamics involved. 1980 Delaware, race relations were very divided, and it was different than it was currently. Back in 1980, the reality is Mr. Daniels, an African-American male, was railroaded by the state. The victim in the case was a 15-year-old white female. The state's key witness who lied multiple times was a 15-year-old white male. He was defended inadequately by a white attorney. He was prosecuted by a white prosecutor. He was given a life sentence by a white judge, and he was convicted by an all-white jury. So the reality is race played a big factor in this case, and my hope is to address these issues so that they no longer plague us currently, and we can help free those who have been wrongfully convicted and incarcerated.
Yeah, and it sounds like this expert was also a white FBI agent who has been discredited, you know, with all these other cases. I'm sure there are multiple defendants impacted by this non-scientific testimony.
And he gets to get a pension and get to live in Florida.
Yeah. And so next steps, Mr. Daniels is going to speak out. You all were there when he was released from prison. What was that like?
I'll go first. It was the most surreal and greatest feeling I've had in my 17 years of practicing law. I often tell people I believe me and Mr. Daniels were meant to meet. Our destinies were meant to cross. He was convicted in May of 1980. I was born in August 1980. And I believe part of my life mission was to come and get justice for Mr. Daniels, together with the work that Terrence Jones, we've been able to get him justice. So seeing him after working on the case for 2 years, over 2.5 years, and seeing him actually released was the most surreal and incredible feeling. And just hearing him say thank you, you know, thank you, even though we haven't received a dime on this case, his thank you was worth any more than any money that we could possibly get on this case.
And so he's been in prison longer than you've been alive.
Yeah, he's been in prison for 39 years, longer than I've been alive, as he stated. And may I say, the state of Delaware released Mr. Daniels on a cold winter day with only a T-shirt. They gave him no apology. They gave him no resources. As you can imagine, after being in jail for 39 years, you have a need for basic necessities. You have a need for housing. You have a need for clothing. You have a need for an ID. You have a need for insurance. You have a need for mental health services, physical services. He has diabetes. They gave him less than a week's supply of his diabetes medicine. So Delaware needs a wrongful compensation law. Delaware is one of 17 states where there is no compensation for those who are wrongfully convicted. So part of our mission is to lobby the state legislature and state that you need a wrongful compensation law for those who have been wrongfully convicted.
Wow. And I tell you, I got teared up a little bit. So I know that in Philadelphia, we have had success with wrongful conviction lawsuits in the sense that they've settled. And in a case where the prosecution, basically dismisses the the indictment, it would seem to me that's almost an admission of guilt of some sort.
One thing we agree with the state of Delaware is that Michael P. Malone testified falsely. They admit as much in their motion to dismiss the indictment. So that creates liability, obviously, for the FBI. So we're hoping to hold Michael P. Malone accountable. And we're hoping that the FBI, in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Justice, swiftly compensate Mr. Daniels. The reality is they can never give him back the 39 years of his life. They can never give him back all the memories. They can never give him back all the relationships that have been broken as a result of the wrongful conviction. So even though there's nothing they can do to bring it back, the least they can do is first an apology, an acknowledgement that they did something wrong. And then second of all, try to compensate as best as they can Mr. Daniels for the years and decades that he's lost of his life.
And I just want to point out, you sent me some information when we talked about this a while back, and it was actually evidence. People were, you know, ringing the alarm months within weeks of him being in incarcerated. You know, the psychologists, people who had interviewed him said, look, man, this doesn't seem right. So this isn't something that wasn't brought to folks' attention early on, and it just seemed like folks just kind of turned a blind eye to what was happening here.
So you mentioned the court-appointed psychiatrist, Dr. Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
He examined Mr. Daniels at the court's behest, and after examining Mr. Daniels, he did the extraordinary step, and he tries not to play detective on his cases, but he wrote a letter to the judge and CC'd the prosecutor, Bartholomew Dalton, and CC'd Mr. Daniels' trial attorney, Edward Pankowski, and he stated that he had doubts that Mr. Daniels was, in fact, the assailant of the victim, and the reason he believed Mr. Daniels was innocent was because he didn't fit the description of the assailant. The victim stated the assailant had bitten fingernails all the way to the cuticles, and he was prepared to testify that Mr. Daniels had well-manicured nails that haven't been habitually bitten. He stated that physically Mr. Daniels didn't fit the description. He said, you know, the assailant had a broad nose and Mr. Daniels had a narrow nose. So he pointed out different things in the physical description of the assailant by the victim that didn't match Mr. Daniels. And despite all these, as you said, red flags and alarms that were being sounded, they proceeded to railroad this 18-year-old and gave him a life sentence.
That is wild. So I look forward to meeting Mr. Daniels in person. Gentlemen, is there anything else you want to add? I know absolute justice, has it been founded? It's already in existence at this point?
It is in existence. We're going to announce the official launch of the press conference scheduled for 11 o'clock tomorrow. I just want to thank you, Jerry, mm-hmm. for just getting this news out there. As the Washington Post says, democracy dies in darkness, and we need to shine a light on the injustice that's going on in the criminal justice system. Mr. Daniels himself is the perfect advocate for reform that's much needed, because while it's a vindication for Mr. Daniels, the many other people in jail who need to have their voices heard and justice done on their cases.
Yeah.
Thank you for this platform.
Yeah, I appreciate both of you coming in. Emeka Igwe and Terrence Jones, lawyer, investigator. This has been a Flashpoint Extra. Flashpoint is KYW News Radio's weekly public affairs show. It airs every weekend on 1060 AM on your radio dial. And it comes on at 9:30 PM on Saturdays and Sunday morning at 8:30. So you can subscribe to the Flashpoint podcast for exclusive content like this extra. You can find us on the radio.com app, the Apple Podcast app, or any podcast platform. All you got to do is search Flashpoint KYW. And if there's something in your community that has you hot under the collar, let us know and we'll walk you through the flames. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is Flashpoint Show. Mine is Cherry Gregg. And thank you, because you're a part of the Flashpoint fam. So we really appreciate you listening and subscribing to our podcast. We work really hard and we really, really care about the community. So until next time, I'm your host, Cherry Gregg. Thanks for listening.